Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Welcome to Slow Pitch, a podcast that takes sports movies too seriously, or perhaps not seriously enough. We're your hosts,
Sean with an N.
And Brad Etherly. I hate Daniel's reply to Ali with an I. Two guys who consider watching sports movies a type of aerobic exercise. Today's episode is a review of the 1984 classic, The Karate Kid.
Now, this one is actually a classic.
I was going to say, this is the first one that we can say a classic to.
This is top 10 sports movies of all time. I feel confident.
Is it in your top 10?
Yes, I would say so. It's one of those movies that follows the template of Rocky. You know, Rocky comes out in 1976. This is basically just the teenage version of Rocky, and they use karate. You have Bill Conti, who does the music for both. Maybe they share a cinematographer. I can't remember, but
I do know this: I think it was the director for Rocky III also did Karate Kid. Am I wrong on that?
No, and they share some other things too. You know, I'm assuming we're going to talk about the song by Joe Esposito, You're the Best Around,
sure.
At some point. That song was originally intended to be used in Rocky III, yeah. I believe. And Sylvester Stallone heard it and said, nope, hard pass. And so it ends up in Karate Kid.
The director's name is John G. Avildsen, and he directed Rocky IV and Rocky V.
Ooh.
No. Rocky and Rocky V and The Karate Kid and The Karate Kid Part 3.
Ooh, man. Couple swings and misses in there. Karate Kid 3 is rough. So before we go into The Karate Kid, I want to back up to the last episode and just remind everybody why we're doing Karate Kid. We're doing Caddyshack 2 because we drew Caddyshack 2, and we discussed part of the whole deal is when that wheel spins, we don't have an actual wheel, I don't think so, but whatever movie it lands on, we have to watch it, good or bad. But we decided to make an amendment to the rules, and if we land on a movie that is part of a series of sequels, then we will start at the beginning of that sequel series and then move our way forward as we continue to land on that series. Is that
right, so if Brian? We get the next Karate Kid and the next Lotto Ball choice, then we'll just do Karate Kid 2.
So we are considering the next Karate Kid part of the Karate
franchise.
Kid.
It's in the franchise, I think.
I've tried not to acknowledge its existence, but I suppose if we're doing Karate Kid 3, we'll have to do that too.
Well, and we're also doing The Karate Kid with Willow Smith or whoever.
Oh, gosh. Jaden Smith.
Yeah.
Man. Oh, that one's
sorry,
wrong. Sorry, Sean. That's who you need to be saying you're sorry to. Like, the fact that I have to actually watch that. Yeah, this is... I say this all the time, and I know there's nobody from Hollywood listening, but we do not need new versions of these movies. And like, we don't need a Ghostbusters with Kristen Wiig in it. We don't need a Karate Kid with Will Ferrell's kid, with Will Smith's kid in it. We don't need Footloose with Juliana Hough in it. We're good. We got those movies. We can watch them over and over. Write new scripts. It's easy to do.
You know, one thing I was thinking about also is because we've got several remakes in this list. You know, it would be interesting if we did The Karate Kid first, and then we did the remake of The Karate Kid right after. So that's a possibility. Same with like Point Break and The Longest Yard. I can't think of anything.
Is Point Break a football movie or a surfing movie?
I think it's a surfing movie.
Okay. Because it does have Ohio State legend Johnny Utah.
That's true, but do they really play football?
They do on the beach for 5 minutes.
See, it's been so long since I've watched Point Break.
I don't want to like do that podcast now. I'll just say it is one of the greatest open field tackles I've ever seen in a game.
Oh, really? I can't wait.
Patrick Swayze tackling Keanu Reeves into the ocean.
Yeah. I can't wait to watch Point Break again. It's been probably 20 or 30 years since I've seen it.
Are you serious?
It came out in 1989. Wow. So I probably watched it once or twice at that time.
It came out that late?
Yeah.
It came out in 1989?
Maybe not.
I thought it came out in 91 or something.
So. Like you're right. Yeah. Well, let's talk about The Karate Kid. Ralph Macchio is almost 60 years old, Sean. How do you feel about that?
Well, that means that I need to pour myself a glass of Metamucil and eat some prunes and put on a pair of Depends because I'm not that. It is interesting because I was looking at the IMDb page of this movie as well, and Ralph Macchio is almost 60, but Pat Morita, the old wise Mr. Miyagi, was 52 when this movie came out.
That's insane.
52. And so if you had asked me when it came out, you know, I was 8 years old when it came out. How old is Mr. Miyagi? I would have been like 78.
Yeah, I'm roughly 7.5 years away from being Mr. Miyagi.
Well, you're going to have to work on your fly catching skills. Chops.
But the funny thing is Ralph Macchio, and I know he's always looked younger than he is, but I'm guessing that you saw his IMDb page when you were looking at it. He still looks like
he's playing. 40. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's playing a 15-year-old in this movie at age 23 or 4 or something like that. I mean, and he does look really, he does not look like a 24-year-old. And I will say this about Ralph Macchio as well. I think it was great to see someone of my community on screen like that. And you might be thinking like, well, you don't have anything in common with Ralph Macchio. And I'm talking about people whose legs are too long for their body. And so I've always felt like I'm in that. Like, whenever like Daniel Russo insists on tucking in the shirts of every outfit, which just make his legs look like they're like 7 feet long. And then his torso is like 6 inches.
That's
long.
Hilarious. Yeah. I was wondering where you were going with that because I didn't think you were an Italian from Jersey, but
no.
So this movie, you know, I was 9 years old when it came out and it defined my childhood along with like Teen Wolf and, you know, some of these other movies, but this movie perhaps made me more into a sport than any other movie has ever done, except for I didn't actually get into the sport. Like I never got into karate.
You know what I got into? My brother and I, we weren't into the sport, but we were into the clothes. We received a pair of pajamas that were karate pajamas. Sure. So we were both instantaneous black belts. They came with the pajamas. And we would have these karate tournaments, I guess, in our living room wearing our pajamas. And we were basically replicating the moves from the Karate Kid. You know, we were waxing on, waxing off, breathing in and out, crane kick technique all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, karate was like all the rage after this movie came out.
Well, I got this video, this DVD for Christmas last year, and I got this and E.T. to show my children they're now 7 and almost 9. And so we watched it right after Christmas. So this would have been Christmas of 18. We watched it about a year and a half ago for the first time. And of course, I had to film or video them doing their different karate chops and karate kicks and everything. It's just a kind of a rite of passage. At least I think it will be for our generation's kids that their parents will want to see them, you know, do the same things that we did after we watched
My brother and I, yeah, we would, as we would act out the karate scenes, we would sing the Joe Esposito song to give ourselves a soundtrack. We'd be like, "You're the best ever gone." Like, we were singing that as we were karate chopping each other.
Yeah. It's funny because my wife has created these birthday playlists for my children on Spotify. And it started with, we have these videos of them as not the actual birth, but like as we're going into the hospital and we're getting ready for their births. And then after, you know, with them being held by everybody and being driven home and everything like that. And she had set it to some different songs. And so they've kind of grown up watching those videos and hearing those songs. And so they wanted to set up a birthday playlist. And so those songs were the first ones on there. But because my wife sings that song to them all the time, they both wanted that song on their birthday playlist. And so whenever my son in particular wants to kind of pay a compliment to my wife, he starts singing. Nothing's ever gonna get you down. So yeah, it's kind of permeated culture 36 years later.
Well, yeah. And that is one reason why I put it in the top 10 best sports movies of all time, is because of the cultural impact it had on anybody born like between 1970 and 1980. It's just, you know, the lines, you know, sweep the leg, you know, finish him, wax on, wax off.
Put him in a body bag.
Yeah. Give him a body bag. Yeah. Yeah. It's ubiquitous in the culture. And I don't, like, obviously this movie spawned a remake, 4 sequels, 3.5 sequels, and a cartoon. And I also remember there was toys. There was Karate Kid toys you could buy. I mean, it was huge. Like, everybody wanted to be Ralph Macchio.
They really did, which is incredible.
Yeah. Well, and that's another thing. Like, you know, it was, there was a reason that it was so popular, and it's because the movie was so well put together that you kind of believed in this little runty Newark kid coming out to California, winning over the heart of the girl and beating up her ex-boyfriend in the tournament. Like, somehow you believe that. Like, if you look at Ralph Macchio and Billy Zabka or someone like Dutch, like, there's no way Ralph Macchio bests Dutch in any sort of a fight. Yet he does it, and I'm there for it. I'm like, yeah, sure, he could do that.
Yeah, it really is probably the first movie that I watched that I got there's a definite underdog. There's this group of guys who should kick his butt anytime they get into a scrape, but he overcomes all of that. But after rewatching it in my 40s, I have found that I don't love the Daniel character as much as I used to.
Well, I will say this. Well, first off, when I watched it as a kid, I was like, man, this guy cusses in front of adults. Like, what a rebel. And I was talking about, like, I thought that when he said the word sucks in front of adults. I think he drops like maybe some GDs or something later, but he 100% deserved to be kicked out of soccer practice. Like, because he gets tripped within a soccer game, which happens. And then he just hauls off and punches a guy right in the face.
He tackles him and punches him.
But yeah, he's mouthy and has that New Jersey attitude, and which is, I think it makes it even more amazing that, like, what, like, why does Elizabeth Shue like
Daniel? Well, that's not a question. it comes from the lunchroom scene where he's trying to crack wise and he's trying to be charming to Allie. And I just was like, he's not funny. Like, he's just kind of a dork. And I have a question.
And his pants are really high on his waist. His pants
are really high. Yeah. Is Daniel LaRusso, is he charming?
Well, yes, I think he is. I think
he does not charm Allie's friends. I can tell you that.
No, they hate him from the get-go. but this is my reasoning for why Allie with an I would fall for Daniel. She is used to this purebred Encino Hills Country Club, Johnny Lawrence kind of guy who has everything handed to him on a silver platter. And then here comes this guy with a little bit of an edge from Newark, New Jersey. She feels a little bit sorry for him because he doesn't have any friends. There's a reason he may not have any friends. It's because he is kind of mouthy. And we can get into his weird relationship with Freddie and those guys a little bit later. Like that's a bizarre thing that I want to explore. But we know this about high school girls. They like the bad boy. And there's a little bit of bad boy in Daniel.
I don't think so. I think he's just a whiny baby.
You don't think a high school kid cussing teachers is not a bad boy? Well,
I mean, yeah, maybe a little bit. But I didn't see him having attitude. I saw him as just being kind of a whiny baby. I mean, it's the classic, well, I hate this bike, stupid bike.
I'm gonna put myself in Daniel's shoes a little bit. I've just had my butt kicked for the fourth time in three days.
LA, you keep running into the same five guys. Yeah.
For some reason, I chose to ride home on the darkest, hilliest street on my way home from a karate dojo. Yeah, he's probably a little put out at that point. And, he probably does veer a little bit into whiny. But, to your point, Miyagi does kind of call him out on that a little bit. In the when he's teaching him how to punch in full catcher's gear, which that reminds me, this is kind of apropos of nothing. I need to find this. A few years ago, I was messing around on GarageBand, and I took a bunch of Mr. Miyagi makes a bunch of just random sounds and noises.
There's a lot of great random sounds and noises.
He's like, push, But I took a bunch of them and I just put them in a garage band mix and made a little dance number out of it. That's and so I'll have to send hilarious. It to you.
Yeah, maybe we can
play it at the end of the episode or something.
Yeah, there's another, I don't know if you included this in your mix, but there's a great sound that Johnny makes in the dojo when we first see him. And he kind of goes, eh.
Yeah. Well, and I always wanted to know the significance of the karate sounds that get made.
Yeah.
Because, it's Mr. Miyagi's sound that he makes when it's kind of like, all right, get ready. He always goes, tush. I'm like, is he saying tush?
ZZ Top reference there.
Tush. Yeah.
I recently introduced my kids to Weird Al Yankovic, and I say this because I found this video of him, and I think I sent it to you, where it's the video from Fat, but it has all the music taken out. It's just sound effects. I would love to see this movie in the same regard. Without any vocals except for grunts that would be awesome. I don't even feel the need to recap. I just kind of want to go into some talking points, and you've already kind of mentioned this, but Daniel finds a friend within minutes of moving to California named Freddie Fernandez.
He's wearing a shirt that says Making Bacon on it. And I think it has two pigs doing the deed.
And one of them has a word bubble. And I I tried to read it. This time it was the first time I had ever seen the word bubble, and I think it's from the one from the backside going,
all right.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, interesting. That was interesting wardrobe.
Yeah. Choice. Yeah. And so he meets his friend, and he's the one who, you know, invites him to come down to the beach. They're going to have this party, and they're having a great time and everything. But then literally within the span of a couple of hours, they go from playing soccer together and having a great time and having this cookout, you know, with a fire and hot dogs to Daniel getting beat up by the Cobra Kai and Freddie and his friends totally dissing him and just walking away from him as he's bleeding on the beach.
Yeah. And basically they disappear from his life until he's in the tournament forever. Again.
Do they come to the tournament? Yeah.
No. Oh, they're at the tournament cheering him on. And I was like, could these guys be bigger front runners? Because they did not want anything to do with him for essentially 3 months. It was like, hey, you seem pretty cool. Why don't we go to this party? Oh, wait, you're not great at karate? All right, we're done. We're done being friends with you.
You went 5-on-1 and lost.
Okay. I know. They know nothing about this guy. And he's like, hey, you know how to pick him, Freddie, or whatever that guy says.
You really know how to pick him. Yeah, and so I also think about Freddie Fernandez, and I don't know what the expectations of this movie were for these actors. I think I read an awesome oral history on sportsillustrated.com, and they all kind of talked about how this was a kind of a throwaway movie. Nobody expected it to do anything. I think Pat Morita was the biggest star, but after him, like Daniel LaRusso, Ralph Macchio was like a huge star to them because he had been in The Outsiders. And yep. So, but they just kind of didn't expect this movie to do anything. But I think about Freddie Fernandez, and I think here's this kid who is introduced within the next, you know, the first few minutes of the movie. And I think, man, did he think that he was, you know, this was his big break, that he was going to have, you know, a significant amount of screen time and lines in a pretty fairly big movie, and then just to not be seen for 98% of it.
Yeah, maybe so. Well, and I do think, I'm assuming that there were scenes with Daniel's friends that got cut out. Has to be.
Maybe.
Because it's just, it's too odd that they're there and then just all of a sudden, it's just such a random disappearance. It just seems kind of strange.
I know that they do come back at the school. I think it may be at the first day of school. They show back up and they just kind of diss them again.
Yeah. But they are for a fact at the tournament and like going all out for Team LaRusso.
That is crazy. Yep. Okay, yeah, I'm going to have to check that out next time I watch it next week.
Well, yeah, so that's a kind of a strange relationship. Can we talk a little bit about the Daniel-Allie relationship?
Yeah, I have just a general question before we get into that. First of all, I think it's ironic that he's teaching her how to play soccer, because wasn't she like an all-pro soccer player or something like that. I think you can tell when she starts dribbling the ball. I know her brother was, Andrew Hsu, was like an all-world soccer player. So it was funny to see that. But then, like right before the Cobra Kai show up, she just straight drop kicks the ball for no apparent reason.
And I've always been baffled by that. Like, was she trying to protect Daniel? Like, oh, like maybe he'll run off and never come back, or maybe he'll run into the ocean. Sure. Like, what's the deal? Well, I do. So if we're going to talk about Allie, there is a moment in this movie that, and I think this adds to the case that this is one of the best sports movies of all time. And I'm talking about the Elizabeth Shue sun squint.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. This is the first, this was the first, like I'm 8 years old. I'm seeing this movie in a theater and their girls are kind of in their bathing suits and they're just kind of laying on the beach and the guys are playing soccer and they kind of get in this little soccer scrum I'm describing this as though people have not seen this movie, but they get in this soccer scrum near the girls, and Elizabeth Shue kind of looks up with a smile, and she does that thing that good-looking girls do, which is she kind of like looks.
Do not do this.
Yeah. Sorry. But if you maybe a better way to put it is when they do this, they are good looking. But
it increases their cute factor. If they're already cute, when they do this, it increases that cute quotient.
It in this part, like, it's maybe 2 or 3 frames of the film, but she squints. She kind of looks up at Daniel, and the sun causes her to squint. And so it's kind of like a smile squint kind of thing. I was kind of like, hello, all right. I'm down for this. Yeah.
One thing that cracked me up about the fight that Johnny and Daniel have on the beach that I had never paid attention to before is that Johnny actually does a bullfight move.
Yeah.
Toro, like, Toro.
Yep.
I've never noticed that before, and I thought that was funny. Yeah.
Well, I'm jumping all over the place This movie's so great, but Cobra Kai and Johnny specifically are such good villains. Like, you have this parachute pants wearing motorcycle gang who are kind of like this, they're sort of like this evil Aryan race of karate experts who are taught by this PTSD Vietnam War guy. They embody high school evil. Now, and again, it's one of those things where it's ridiculous, but I'm buying into it the entire time. The Cobra Kai, of course, dressed as evil looking skeletons at the Halloween party, chase Daniel down, beat him into within an inch of his life. And they kind of give you the impression that Johnny Lawrence is going to kick this 15-year-old kid in the face and end his life if Mr. Miyagi does not swoop in and save the day. I mean, that is evil.
Yeah.
And again, it's ridiculous to think that a high school kid would be that evil, but yet I buy into it.
Let's go back to where he gets beat up on the bike ride after he has dinner with his mom. And I counted at that point, I think that it was the third time he had gotten beat up by them. I guess if you're counting the soccer tackle, you know, as a fight, you know, you got the beach, you've got that, and then you've got the bike scene. And this is in the span of 2 days. This is Los Angeles. Like, so here's the first thing. And suspend reality, I know, but you're in Los Angeles. You go to a beach that just happens to have Allie and Cobra Kai just happens to show up at the same beach. You know, this is the California coast that is 500 miles long or whatever. And then the next day you get in a fight at school. They happen to go to the same school as you. Then that night, they see you having dinner with your mom directly across the street from where they practice karate, their dojo.
Yeah.
And what are they doing in between that time? Like, are they just, like, waiting? Like, because it's full on dark. And I don't know what Daniel's been doing.
I know.
But, you know, he's, like, in downtown LA. And then all of a sudden, he's riding home. And these guys follow him with their motorbikes.
Yeah. Well, I have spent many hours trying to figure out the geographical relationship of everything because, Daniel is eating dinner. I'm assuming it's dinner. Like,
he's got a steak.
I guess it would make sense.
I was watching that steak. I was looking at it.
Lucille, they're here. Come on, let's go. I've never, like, that's always been a random line, but that I've had in my head. So, so it makes sense that they go from school to Cobra Kai dojo. And if you're a parent, would you really send your kid to a dojo called Cobra Kai with a big snake that has like advertises with a big snake on the front entrance? And then there's a bunch of like ammo
Sergeant Slaughter is the
there's a bunch of Vietnam war memorabilia in the lobby. Are you, if you're a rich family from Encino, that's where you're going to send your kid. Anyway. Yeah. So like Daniel is sitting there. Maybe Daniel just pondered about Allie for a really long time while he was eating that meal. And then he finally went home.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just waited. they are so obsessed. Cobra Kai is so obsessed with Daniel that they waited for 2.5 hours.
It looked like they were walking home, basically, because they went separate directions. A couple of them did. But then they all, like, first of all, I don't buy that he saw him in that window either. Like, you're not paying attention. But, you know, he sees Daniel, runs back, and gets the other guys. They come back and look at him. And then they all run off the same direction. And they have their motorbikes with them, I guess. I don't know. But then they just sit there and wait for him to leave. Anyway, but that's the third time in 2 days that he's been jumped by these guys. And then I think it gets a fourth beating. Well, it's the skeleton. It's a Halloween night. So I guess that would be a couple months into the school year.
Well, it's theoretically October 31st because it's a Halloween dance. Because I was trying to figure out how long when he was doing the training. Because at one point, I'm getting into such technical stuff here, but at one point, Miyagi has him come back to his house 3 days in a row and work all day. Yeah. Like he spends a day sanding the floor, and Miyagi's like, come back tomorrow. Spends an entire day painting a fence. Miyagi says, come back tomorrow. So that's 3 days that I guess technically speaking, he could have sanded the floor after school on a Friday, maybe.
Oh yeah. Or maybe it was over Labor Day or something like that.
Well, it wouldn't have been Labor Day because Daniel moved out. At the beginning of the movie, it says September, Newark, New Jersey. And so I would, and they have the Halloween dance, and that is, it's after the Halloween dance that Daniel starts training.
So he went to that school mid-semester then?
When he meets Freddie for the first time, Freddie says, hey, we're having an Aloha to Summer party at the beach. So that makes me, that makes me think that school in Encino, California starts maybe in September. Maybe
after Labor Day.
Yeah. But so here's another question in regards to where everything's located. So, I know that Encino and Reseda are adjacent, but how is it that Daniel and who is, they establish as, poor and lives in kind of a rundown apartment.
Well, we can tell they're poor because of their refrigerator decorations. Did you notice on their refrigerator?
No.
On the side, it's when he opens up the door after he got the black eye from the night before at the beach. He opens up the door and you see this side shot. And there is a large, it looks like a magazine page ripped out, stuck on the refrigerator of a single piece of pie. A single piece of pie. And then he opens up the door and you see what's on the front part of the door. And it is a bunny cake. A cake that looks like a bunny. And I'm thinking, what are these guys doing? Like, this is their decoration for their refrigerator? It's ripping out magazine pages of treats.
So Daniel, the night of the Halloween dance, Daniel infuriates Johnny by dousing him with water while he's rolling a joint. Johnny chases him out of the bathroom, is briefly delayed by a black guy in a Spider-Man costume.
Without the mask. He just has a...
Yeah. He's just wearing a regular black mask. Yes. Yeah. Always one of my favorite parts. And Daniel lives close enough to his high school to where he can sprint from his high school to his house, because Mr. Miyagi basically, if Daniel makes it over that fence, he's at his apartment.
Yeah.
But Mr. Miyagi is waiting. So the point I'm getting to is Daniel lives within sprinting distance of his house from his school. How is it that Allie and all these rich kids go to this school?
You know, the only thing I can imagine is that chase was longer than what we saw.
Yeah.
That's my only guess, is that we see the wreck that Daniel causes, you know, outside the school, and then he runs off into the distance, and then we miss about 10 to 15 minutes of running, and then you see him jump the first fence. That's because I've thought the same thing, because Johnny and Allie and Dutch and all those other guys, they would be going to more of a 90210 type of school, I think, right?
I would assume so. Now, they do establish that they all live in Encino. They live in Encino, which, you know, it's upscale, but I still think they'd be going to a private school, not the same school that Freddie and Daniel go to.
Hey, Sean, have you heard about this new Patreon.com thing that's going around?
I've heard of such a thing.
So what it is, if you haven't heard about it.
Wait a second. I just said I had heard about it. So that should be the end of this conversation. We shouldn't need to talk about it. Oh, but there might be other people who need to hear about it.
We have set up our own Patreon account and website. We do have different tiers. That's kind of standard Patreon.com. Modus operandi. How do you say that?
Let's just say M.O. Yeah, don't try. Hey, college boy, why don't you just dial it back? Just say M.O. If you part ways with a whopping $2 a month, you get a hearty handshake.
I'll go ahead and go to the next tier, which is our Rocky 3. The first one is our Caddyshack 2 tier. It's the lowest. But Rocky 3 is our next tier. If you submit $5 a month, you will not only receive a hearty handshake if we see you out in public, but we will also give you a signed copy of our show notes.
I once met actress Sharon Stone, so I'll just leave that there.
What's our third tier?
It is Major League, which I assume is a step up from Rocky 3, or maybe, depending on who you are. It is $8 a month. You get the handshake. You get the signed copy of the show notes, but you also receive a random baseball card, again, signed by us.
The next tier is the Hoosiers tier, and that is at $15 per month. If you want to support us, you will have access to a bonus episode.
And so I guess that leads us to the premium package on the Patreon site, which is, I'm not going to lie, folks, this is expensive. $25 a month, but you get the handshake, you get the signed show notes, you get the signed baseball card, you get access to the bonus episode, and we will record an episode of your choice just for you. This is any movie, any genre, $25 a month.
And that is the natural.
Yeah, the natural, sorry.
We have Caddyshack 2 at $2 per month, Rocky 3 at $5 per month, Major League at $8 per month, Hoosiers at $15 a month, and then you have the natural. So if you feel so inclined to help support us, please visit patreon.com/slowpitch. Thanks again.
Here's an important question. Is Daniel LaRusso a San Diego Chargers fan? Because he's donning a Wes Chandler jersey in that scene. And I think there's no way that he is a San Diego Chargers fan. He's got to be a Giants or Jets
fan. He screams Jets, doesn't he?
Yeah, perpetual losers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he just, maybe his mom got it at the local Goodwill for him or something.
Oh, man.
Hey, I still shop at the Goodwill.
I'm just saying, like, just when you thought your life couldn't be any worse, you're receiving daily beatings. You can't quite get it going with this girl, Allie. And your mom's like, I know what will make him feel better. A nice used San Diego Chargers jersey. Hey. A team that you don't really like.
You know, got to make ends meet somehow.
Well, yeah, it was either that or a Making Bacon secondhand t-shirt.
Ooh.
Or he wears a Mr. He does wear a Mr. Bubbles t-shirt. Daniel does when he goes to confront his nemesis, which, by the way, if you're going to confront your nemesis, I would suggest not going with a Mr. Bubbles t-shirt. It's going to make you seem like an even bigger wuss than you actually are. Maybe so, the football. I don't know. Something a little more manly.
The football jersey is appropriate there.
Yeah.
That's funny. So we get kind of to that point. And I paused at this point to write down a question. This movie is absolutely full of great scenes. And I know that you may have a scene that is your favorite that is after this point where the skeleton fight happens and Mr. Miyagi kind of swoops in to save him. But what is your favorite scene out of this movie other than Spidey getting denied?
Yes, Spidey. Well, that's tough. I obviously the final fight scene is, I get chills. That's a chill inducing scene when Daniel LaRusso lands that crane kick technique and Allie comes out running to hug him, and stoic Mr. Miyagi can't even keep the grin off his face. You know, he nods in satisfaction. The Bill Conti score is just amazing in that moment. And I got chills the first time I saw the movie. I get chills now. That's definitely a contender. And I would say, well, I have mixed feelings about the Pat Morita going for the Oscar drunk scene. But I also really like the scene with where Daniel is realizing what all the household chores have meant, that he's like building up this muscle memory to learn how to defend himself. Yeah. How realistic it is, I don't know, but it still seemed super cool once he started realizing.
So as a kid, obviously, you know, where he learns how to do the crane kick is awesome. And then when he performs it at the end of the movie is an amazing scene. But as an adult, it's really two scenes with Pat Morita. And it is that drunk scene. When I was a kid, I might have fallen asleep during that point. You know,
well, I thought Mr. Miyagi was dead the first time I saw it, because he basically passes out. Then for the next few minutes, we just see Daniel training by himself. And so I remember at 8 years old, I was like, well, crap, Miyagi's dead. What's Daniel going to do now?
You know, it is amazing though, because that is a pretty intense scene for what is otherwise just kind of a goofy kind of teenage 80s movie. And it's
pretty impressive. And I know, the studio tried to get them to take that out. They thought it was too dark. You know, they refer to Miyagi's kid and wife dying and he's drunk and Daniel drinks. And I think the actors felt really strongly about it and really pushed back pretty hard, and it ended up staying in. And Pat Morita was nominated for Best Supporting Actor that year.
But he did a great job, and especially in that scene. But the other scene is at this point where he, you know, saves Daniel LaRusso and kicks one of the skeletons in the nuts.
Right? Yeah.
And then Daniel LaRusso's vision of him where going from side to side in the fog is
amazing. Yeah. I mean, like, he's making sure none of these high school kids that I've just beaten the crap out of are going to wake up. Well, yeah, first off, like, yeah, Mr. Miyagi, who's in his, I don't know, mid 60s, the character of Mr. Miyagi, he basically incapacitates five young, strong karate students who are black belts. Like, they're karate black belts.
Yeah.
And he incapacitates them within 90 seconds, you know, maybe. And of course, you know, they're doing some of that TV fighting where two people just kind of wait while the other two
just watch fighting him until he gets to him. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, I'm ready now.
But yeah, Miyagi, he knocks him out pretty quickly. And the guy who gets kicked in the nuts, like, he's done. Like, he's not fighting anymore.
He's not getting up.
Yeah. And I think it's maybe Johnny who he like flips Johnny over. And, you know, I would think that a 17 or 18 year old Karate Champ would be able to jump right back up, but he's down and Miyagi like hits him in the sternum or something and finishes him off. Did you see the next day when they go to try to talk to Kreese and about not beating up Daniel anymore? Tommy is at karate practice and he's his arm is in a sling. Yeah. It's like you can miss a day, dude. I know that this guy's intense.
But I wondered like what's he gonna do, you know? But maybe
He's gonna give himself a body bag, I guess.
Let's talk about Kreese for a second. He is a great villain as well. I mean, he really is amazing in this movie because you
hate him.
I can remember my 10-year-old self. Like, I had never hated a character before as much as I hated him.
Yeah, he's perfect. You know, sweep the leg. You got a problem with that, Mr. Lawrence? And he says, you're a pushy little bastard, ain't you? But I like that.
You're a pushy little bastard, ain't you? But I like that. I like that.
So many great lines.
Yeah. I mean, everything, like, he is the equivalent of a sporting event. If, like, somebody came off the bench and hit, like, 6 threes in 3 minutes of play or something like that. He, just every word out of his mouth is gold.
He is great. So I may have rushed into that, but I just, after that scene, seeing Miyagi just kind of do that pivot.
Yeah.
The fog. I love it. And I think it's hilarious. I think it's funny. I think it's cool. All of that in one. I have a question for you, and I could easily look this up, but I did not know this until yesterday. I spent probably the second half of this movie looking at different trivia and research and just kind of reading that online or the oral history on Sports Illustrated. But I didn't realize that, and I'm going to call him what I think he looks like. It's the Billy Joe Armstrong Cobra Kai guy. What's his actual?
Dutch?
That Dutch.
Yeah, he's Steve McQueen.
Yeah, Steve McQueen's son. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah.
It's interesting. There's like a...
What is his actual name?
Chad?
Chad McQueen, yeah.
Chad. What's up, Chad?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you notice, we kind of talked about this earlier, they, as Daniel's going through the tournament, they sort of cheat some scenes a little bit. Like we don't actually see how Daniel beats Dutch because really there's no way that he could. And so they kind of slice that up, but yeah, I'm sorry. What were you getting ready to say about Chad McQueen?
Nothing. That's it.
Oh, that is a stupid. If it isn't our little friend, Danielle.
Okay.
That's a great scene too.
I just noticed is that there is a man named Larry B. Scott. Do you know who that is? Mm-hmm. He plays Jerry is an African American. He plays Jerry in this movie, and I don't know who Jerry is.
Well, is that's not LeVar from Revenge of the Nerds? Lamar. Is it? Lamar. Yeah, sorry,
that is Lamar, and I did not know that he was in this.
Yeah, he. So when they go visit his quote unquote big scene is so after the Halloween dance.
Is he Spidey?
Yeah. No. They go to the dojo the next day to try to make peace or whatever. He gets beaten and like limps back. I think Kreese like yells at him or something, but he doesn't, have any lines.
Okay. Yeah. That's fun. I love Revenge of the Nerds. So now let's get back into the relationship between Allie and Daniel. He has somehow won her over and they are going to go on a date. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had to push a car to get it to start? Like, I don't even understand the logistics of that. Like, is it a pop the clutch?
It's kind of, yeah, it's something that you used to have to be done when you had stick shifts. Have you ever driven a stick shift? Yeah, or?
I drive a stick, but I've never had to push it and pop the clutch. And
you've never had a car that's that crappy?
Oh, I have. Believe me.
Yeah.
You know, the 85 Nissan Sentra that we had when I first started driving was no gem, but it wasn't a standard.
Yeah. Well, Yeah, it's I think your car's in pretty bad shape if you have to do that. But yeah, I think if you like get it rolling, it helps the clutch pop and like actually get it into gear. I know so little about mechanics, but yeah, I do think that that is a thing.
They foreshadow it at the beginning of the movie when they're in like Nevada or something like that, and they have to do that. And then of course they have to do it in the worst possible moment where Daniel's mom, Lucille, is driving him and Allie to their date at golf and stuff.
Yeah, that's the worst. That is the worst.
So but because it's so prevalent in this movie, like I think that all my life I've just assumed that that's something that used to happen all the time with cars. But I have never done it, and I don't know anybody who has actually had to push a car to get it to start.
Well, it works as a nice plot device to embarrass Daniel on this date
in front of her yeah. parents.
Yeah, the most waspy parents I've ever seen in a movie.
So they get the golf and stuff, and they couldn't even repair the sign for golf and stuff. There's a big hole right in the middle of the sign.
Maybe it's in Reseda, not Encino.
You know, we were supposed to go on a family vacation this year to LA, and we were going to do the Disneyland and Legoland and all that stuff. And I had talked Alicia into going to golf and stuff. It's still there.
Oh, really? Wow.
The amusement.
I didn't know it was like a real thing.
Oh, yeah. I think I've talked about how I have this weird habit of wanting to see what places look like now compared to what they look like in movies. And so mm-hmm. you can find, what's the name of the apartment? The Seven Seas or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew that that was still
you can find around. That and you can find golf and stuff, the school that they went to. So yeah, you know, they were doing their, when they're in the boat practicing balance and stuff, they're just in some reservoir and like North Hollywood or something like that. But yeah, so we were going to go to golf and stuff and enjoy a day there.
A cold drink. That when Daniel and Allie are on their date, there's during that montage, they're sitting there and like the drinks that they have just say cold drink on it.
That's actually going to be our rating for this.
Oh, good, good. Well, so here's the question about golf and stuff. If you go there, are they still going to have the Miracle on Ice hockey game that Daniel and Allie play? And I was like, it shows Daniel as the American team scoring. Like she blatantly pulls the goalie and he scores. I was like, very subtle Karate Kid. Yeah. I see what we're trying to do here.
Did you ever actually play that game in arcades?
What, hockey?
Yeah, that actual game.
Oh, no, no. I don't know if I ever saw that. I did play the game where the skeet shooting game, but not that one.
Oh, that game, I don't know if I played it, because growing up in Houston, we had like these larger amusement type areas, businesses, mm-hmm. and, you know, where you could go putt-putt golfing and you could go go-karting and bumper boating, and then they would have an arcade inside. And that was actually a really fun game that we used to play all the time.
It was basically like foosball hockey.
Basically, yeah. You turn the sticks and all that stuff, but it was a lot of fun. But that was an awesome date, man. That was like an A1 first date, except for the fact that your mom had to drive you there.
Yeah, and you know, there's a series of movies that came out in the 80s that kind of, it sort of painted this picture for me of like, okay, here's what life as a teenager is going to be like. And so I'm like, you know, and it's another reason this movie's so great. If you haven't, find the soundtrack to this movie someplace and listen to it, because during this montage is a song, I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's called Can You Feel the Night, maybe? Can you feel the night? Yeah, it's just they're in the photo booth together getting their picture taken. It's forcing them to sit close enough to where they have to hold hands or get to hold hands.
By the way, they're, missed opportunity for Daniel to just lay one right on her.
Well, yeah. Daniel misses a lot of opportunities, because I was going to mention this earlier, but since you brought that up, I'll bring this up. You talking about him being whiny. I also think sometimes he's just an idiot. Like he's at this dance with Allie. They've made up because they've been in a fight for a little bit or been avoiding each other. They just enjoy this really sweet dance inside his shower costume. She clearly wants to spend time with him. And what does this moron do? He goes and dumps water on the school bully, ruining their night together, and also almost getting himself killed if it weren't for the miraculous Mr. Miyagi diving in and kicking the crap out of a bunch of teenagers. Like, Daniel, just let it lie. Yeah. Like, you don't have to instigate anything. Enjoy this night with your now girlfriend.
Yeah. He's this guy has already beat him up. And what's the end goal? You know, I mean, you just get him wet. All right. What?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh yeah. Good job, Daniel. Night over with Allie, who, by the way, is like one of the, in the pantheon. She is in the pantheon of 80s girlfriend, movie girlfriends. And you just blew it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's, you know, I don't know if I would have done the same thing. Well, I wouldn't have gone out after Johnny. That's for sure. I would have been too much of a wuss. That's for sure. Yeah. But I also don't know that I would have made a move in that shower curtain. I was a wuss in many
areas. Yeah. Even if no moves are made, FaceTime. Like, you just need to get in some jokes that she laughs at, so she knows you have a good sense of humor. What a moron. Anyway, most teenage dudes are morons, but
so
I digress.
So this is kind of where I kind of stopped watching as intently. I've seen this movie a million times, obviously, but I started getting more interested into trivia and what happened behind the scenes and stuff like that. So after their date, you know, I know that that's when he starts kind of getting his lessons from Mr. Miyagi and starts learning the techniques that he teaches him. So I don't know if you have any comments about what leads up to the tournament.
Well, I mean, the toughest thing for me about the timetable is this is a guy who cannot defend himself at all other than getting in one kind of sucker punch on Johnny in that beach fight. And he has from November 1st to December 18th to become good enough at karate to be able to beat anybody on Cobra Kai. And Mr. Miyagi has to strip him down and start from the very basics of wax on, wax off, you know, breathe in, breathe out. And I like what the movie's doing. Like, they're making it more about more than just karate. They're making it about life and balance and, you know, finding inner strength and all that stuff, which is good. It's just, we have to make a huge leap in believability in terms of like this 115-pound kid being able to make a dent at this tournament.
I guess
6 weeks later.
I guess I have to admit that I never really noticed the time frame, and I didn't.
Well,
yeah, even
I didn't the first 50 times I watched the movie. I started thinking about that more on times like 200 through 250.
Makes sense. Yeah. It wouldn't have been terribly difficult to give him, you know, the whole school year to learn. I feel like it was kind of a arbitrary point to just make it by the end of the first semester, more or less.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they make it the day after his birthday. I don't know if that was significant, but yeah. Yeah. He learns a lot and becomes amazing at karate very quickly.
So I feel bad about this, but I didn't watch the last 30 minutes intently because I was so enthralled by the history of the movie.
Yeah.
I can't really, I know what happens, you know, they go to the tournament and he gets hurt. Which one is the Cobra Kai who does the initial move?
Bobby. But yeah. Butt cut Bobby. He has one of the best movie butt cuts you've ever seen. Really, it's parted right down the middle.
Is he the one that, when they were skeletons, I've always wondered this in the skeleton fight, There was one guy who was kind of like, he's had enough.
That was Bobby. Yeah. Bobby has a conscience. Yeah. So he's all right in my book. But they get in this tournament. And here's another thing about Allie with an I that I'm curious about. She knows the rules of these tournaments inside and out. How long did she and Johnny date, and how much did they talk about karate tournaments while they were dating?
She was
like, no wonder he was such a horrible boyfriend. It's like, hey, you want to come over and talk about karate tournament rules for another 3 hours?
That's hilarious. That reminds me of when I was in eighth grade, I had my first quote unquote girlfriend. She was in seventh grade. And our dating relationship basically consisted of talking on the phone about Nintendo. It didn't last long.
Sounds like a dream relationship.
It didn't last long.
Yeah.
It was probably because I was playing Nintendo while I was talking to her and was telling her about what level of Contra I was on.
Okay, here's how I'm picturing that going. Like, you're like, so yeah, I'm almost up to level 4. I'm about to find the secret code or whatever. And she's like, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh. And she's like telling her friends, like, just give me 2 minutes. I'll lose him. I'll be out in 5 minutes. And you're telling your friends, like, hey, I think it's going pretty well.
It wouldn't be the last time that video games gotten between me and a girl.
Yeah.
Happened in college. You were party to that as well, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The game NBA Shootout may have altered history for you.
It may have. Fun times. Yeah. So if there are any intricacies to these scenes, I feel like you're, as many times as I've seen The Karate Kid, and as well as I know the film, I feel like you've studied it a little bit more in depth. So
yeah,
please feel free to just riff on whatever happens there in the last 30 minutes or so, and I'll just interject.
Well, in the last 30 minutes of the movie, there's obviously we have the big karate tournament, but before that, Daniel sets up a second date with Allie to go to golf and stuff, this time to try out the water slide. And she's like, well, I have to have dinner at my parents' country club. Naturally, she's a rich girl from the hills. Yeah. And but she said, but I'm free after that. Come meet me at the country club and we'll go to golf and stuff after that. So Daniel decides he's going to go to this Encino Hills Country Club, which is the most country club of country clubs I've ever seen. It's like, it's a Saturday night and there's like high school kids there with their parents dressed up in suits and dancing to music from the 40s. But Daniel, for some reason, thinks it's in his best interest to dress like a waiter or something. Like, he's wearing white pants and a white shirt. What could possibly go wrong? And he comes into this country club through the kitchen and he's looking through the window, like these swinging doors, and he sees Johnny Lawrence with one of the most amazing haircuts I've ever seen. The top of his hair looks just like a sheet of paper. It's so perfectly flat. Watch the movie. You'll probably see what I'm talking about. He sees her dancing with Allie. Now, we as viewers know that Allie was kind of forced to dance with Johnny through her parents, and she's not really thrilled about it, but Daniel can't tell that. Johnny sees Daniel looking through the kitchen door and decides to put the moves on her. At about that time, a waiter comes running through the door, just happens to be carrying a huge plate full of spaghetti. I don't know if you actually examined the amount of spaghetti that was all over Daniel's white shirt and white pants, but it was a massive amount. And this is a part that has always puzzled me. You have a 15-year-old kid who has just experienced an embarrassing moment. He's laying on the ground with spaghetti on him. And what does this room full of adults do? They start pointing and laughing at him.
Yeah.
And they're like, he has to get up and run.
Kind of like, you know, laughter. Like, it's so slapstick, that moment. But then to compound it by something that would absolutely never happen, where 100% of the people in the room point and laugh hysterically at this kid who just got pummeled with spaghetti sauce.
I know. Yeah. And so Allie is furious with Johnny, punches him in the face, storms off. Now, does she go chase after Daniel to say, no, what you saw wasn't real? She doesn't. Does she try to call Daniel? No, she doesn't. But later on, a little bit later, we get to Daniel's birthday. And Daniel has he kind of shares a touching moment with Mr. Miyagi, where Mr. Miyagi gives him his own gi for the tournament to wear during the tournament. And it's got the Miyagi family symbol,
yeah,
which is a sun with a bonsai tree silhouetted on it. And he also gives this new 16-year-old a vintage 1950s car, which is not a bad gift.
Yeah.
And they talk about what a special friendship they have. And it's very touching. Miyagi is definitely like a father to Daniel, who does not have one. And so he goes and tries to find Allie. And I was watching this movie with my wife, and I said, okay, this is one of the quickest fight turns in relationship history. for any of you guys who have been married or in a long-term relationship, it usually doesn't work out to where you say one thing and then it's all good.
Yeah.
I'm speaking from personal experience. It's usually, you know, at least a few minutes of talking things out. But when he enters Golf and Stuff, by the way, a lot of things happen at Golf and Stuff in this movie. She's playing the skeet shoot game. Her friends are let Daniel know that they think he's an a-hole.
But why?
And I don't know.
Why is she mad at him?
Yeah, I don't. That's a great question, because Daniel is, like you said, he can be whiny. He can be an instigator. He can be rough around the edges. He is poor. I don't know if that factors in for these friends. But yeah, they are disapproving big time.
Well, they are, but yeah, she's mad at him too. Like, he shows up and he tries to say something, and maybe he says something in a joking way. I forget what he was saying, but it seemed like it was like he was, you know, kind of trying to rile her up a little bit, but with a smirk on his face. And didn't see the smirk or whatever.
Yeah, they're playing the skeet shooting game. And he's like, don't shoot. I give up. And she shoots him and just walks off. And I can't remember the dialogue, but yeah, you're right. Allie is upset with Daniel. They must have cut a scene or something, yeah, because that is so weird.
Is she just mad that he caused such an embarrassment at the country club? Like, why? Why is he going through the kitchen? I mean,
yeah,
just meet her outside or something.
Right. And I know it's in the days before cell phones, obviously, but it seems like, or just meet her at Golf and Stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that hard, but yeah. They're
in a fight.
Yeah. They're in a fight and she storms. Daniel goes there to find her. She is furious, storms off, and he comes running outside and runs up behind her and says, hey, I'm a jerk. And she goes, you are a jerk. And sort of try not to laugh kind of thing. And immediately he's like, hey, come here. And then immediately fight over. So this thing where she was not speaking to him 2 minutes earlier is now over. And I was like, man, Daniel LaRusso is going to have to tell me how. Yeah. Like, what's the secret sauce?
Become a millionaire.
Yeah. But anyway,
because don't they smooch? Don't they kiss for the first time there?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. And again, I was kind of like, when I first saw that movie, I was like, I have got to learn karate. but yeah, so then he lets her drive his 1955 vintage car. And next thing we know, we're at the tournament. And yeah, sure enough, Daniel works his way through several Cobra Kai and several non-Cobra Kai. This was a pretty heavily attended karate tournament. Like, as big as, like, we were talking about, like, that karate was kind of all the rage after this movie came out. But I never took a single lesson.
I never did either.
And I don't, and like, And I didn't like, it's not like I heard of karate tournaments happening where I lived, but it in the All Valley tournament, like I guess in the Valley, it's a pretty big deal.
Well, I know. I mean, yeah, after this movie, it became a huge deal. And there were like, I remember, you know, karate and like ninja, like the American Ninja movies were big. At least I don't want to say big, but they made like three or four of them. And, you know, they were just, I don't know about before this movie though. And that's what makes me wonder how this tournament was so well attended. But if they've only got three people in the audience, there's not as much drama, I guess.
Yeah. If it's just Daniel Russo's mom, yeah,
Freddie Fernandez.
Yeah. So, well, and like a big pivotal scene in the tournament is Daniel makes it to the semifinals. Kreese instructs Bobby with a conscience, yeah, to sweep the leg. And so he basically jump kicks Daniel in the kneecap, and Daniel goes down writhing in pain. There is a doctor wearing a lab coat who has examined him and said, hey, you're done for today. And Mr. Miyagi, who is all, he's part karate instructor, part
mystic
Jesus. Yeah. Or something, like, cause he goes, you know, oops, I hit my mic, but you know, he does the,
yeah,
you know, and he like starts,
that scene was probably the most chilling to me as a 10-year-old. That one got me.
Yeah. Well, and that's because, you know, Bill Conti plays a big part in that, yeah, too, because the music starts going. And you don't actually see Daniel being healed. You cut to the announcer who looks like this, like a used car salesman. Like that guy's like, what? Daniel Russo's going to fight. Well, isn't that what it's all about? Well, because yeah, when that guy was like, Daniel Russo's going to fight, I know my brother and I would get pumped up in that moment, because yeah, he's coming out there limping. And you know, Daniel gets the first 2 points. Like, yeah, he jumps out to an early 2-0 lead. Johnny comes back, makes it 2-2. Daniel knows that his leg is not in good shape, and so he goes for the fabled crane kick technique, which I don't understand how 2-time defending All Valley champ Johnny fell for that. He basically sprinted directly and like hit Daniel's foot with his face.
Daniel has 1 foot up, like,
yeah,
going to kick you, and the only yeah, the only difference is it's not with this foot, it's with the other one.
Yeah, so Johnny just sprints into it, that makes no attempt to block it. But did you see what Johnny Lawrence did after he got kicked in the face? He like turns into a human lawnmower and kind of like he's covering his face with his hands, and he like is walking on his knees really fast. Like,
yes,
then
yes. It's like, yes, but then he becomes human,
yeah,
to Bobby's credit. Again, after he sweeps the leg, he immediately is disqualified and is, you know, I'm sorry, Daniel, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
But immediately after the Daniel wins the All Valley tournament, Johnny gives him his props, and he kind of goes in for a high five kind of thing. And
yeah, so maybe this is a power that Daniel has, to where people who are against him, he can turn them on a dime, because Allie,
yeah,
he turns on a dime, and then, you know, with words, Johnny, he turns on a dime with a swift kick to the face, because
yeah,
Johnny's like, you know, when you see Johnny getting ready for that final point, you know, as the tension's mounting, he's pretty mad. Yeah. Like he's ready to go. Boom, kick in the face. You're all right, LaRusso. Let me give him this trophy. You're all right,
yeah,
LaRusso.
Yeah. Oh man, this makes me excited about Karate Kid 2, because you know, the beginning of Karate Kid 2 was supposed to be the end of the Karate Kid.
Yeah, which, such a smart move ending it how they did.
Yeah.
I mean, I cannot think of a more perfect ending than Mr. Miyagi's proud face. Yeah. With the butterfly collar.
I can't wait to talk about Karate Kid 2. I might have enjoyed Karate Kid 2 more than the Karate Kid, but yeah, there's some great things in the Karate Kid 2 to talk about.
So But we're not going directly to Karate Kid 2. No. We still draw, right?
We will still draw, but I bring this as a question. So we've reviewed the original Karate Kid. Do we go straight into the Jaden Smith Karate Kid to contrast and compare? Or do we let the random number do it?
Yeah, I would love to put off watching that Karate Kid for as long as I possibly can.
Okay, we'll do it that way. That goes for any movie now that has a remake, whether it's Point Break or The Longest Yard or what have you. So there will be no compare and contrast now, but we will in the future.
Oh, yeah. I mean, trust me. I'm sure I will have some very fair things to say about that
movie. I can say this. I haven't seen anything after Karate Kid 2. So anything after that? Now, I've heard that Cobra Kai, the YouTube series, is really, really good, but I haven't seen it.
I will say this. In 2018, whenever Cobra Kai first debuted as a promotional gimmick for that show, they re-released The Karate Kid in theaters. But what you had to do to go see it in the theaters, you had to sit through the first two episodes of Cobra Kai before they showed The Karate Kid. And so we went, and they're funny. It's like, you know, the weird thing about that show is that it is definitely tongue in cheek and looking at the Karate Kid kind of ironically, whereas the movie is just straight up sincere.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was entertaining, and hats off to Billy Zabka. Like, that guy is good. Like, he's probably the biggest star in that show.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Because Ralph Macchio is in that. He's in there.
Oh, yeah. He's in it, but they kind of reverse their roles a little bit.
Okay.
But, yeah, you'll have to watch it. I've only seen those first two episodes. But, yeah, Billy Zabka is definitely the more sympathetic figure.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. And it's very interesting.
Okay. Well, let's get to our rating then. Obviously, we've already spilled the beans as far as what it's going to be. The cold drinks prop from the Dolphin Stuff date was one that I know that we, as our group of friends, always enjoyed the random cold drinks shot. So were you... sidebar, were you with us when we watched The Karate Kid in college and
at the palace? Yeah. Because I remember talking about, like, we watched it under the assumption that Lucille LaRusso and Mr. Miyagi were having an affair behind Daniel's back. And so, like, scenes where Daniel is sent off to sand the floor all day long, and Mr. Miyagi emerges later wearing a wife beater and he's picking his teeth with a toothpick. And you're like, what has just happened?
Yes, it was. So this movie goes back for us a long way. And I know that we've always laughed at the cold drinks prop as well. So let's go with that rating. And this may be a ridiculous question, but I'll ask, how many cold drinks, 1 to 5, would you give this movie?
Oh, 5 easily. Yeah. Easily. I mean, I can't not give a movie that I've voluntarily watched 50 times in my life, at least. Five drinks. It was such a huge part of my childhood. I watched it earlier today and loved it just as much. And it, you can tell, like, you know, newer generations are taken with it just as much. And so, yeah, got to give it 5.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's definitely a 5 for me as well. I mean, any movie that I am excited to show my children, whether they're the original Star Wars movies or Karate Kid, E.T., eventually like the Goonies and stuff like that, they're going to be a 5. And this was one of the movies that as soon as they were kind of old enough, I really wanted to let them watch. And sure enough, they absolutely love it. My daughter, who is 7 and was only 5, almost 6 when she watched it for the first time, she claimed that she had a little crush on Daniel LaRusso, which maybe that's why I don't like him anymore. But no, it's fun to watch them watch the same movie that I loved as a kid and then see their goofy karate moves afterwards.
Right.
And it's just fun.
Right.
And we didn't even talk about Cruel Summer, you know, how that was in the movie. And every time I hear that song, you know, I think of this movie and just a great, great movie. You know, it only, I think the budget for it was $8 million and it made $91 million.
Oh my gosh.
So that speaks to, you know, how popular it was and how great it was. And yeah, it's just one of those movies that you're always going to be able to watch and never get really tired of. And you can always, you know, because you've seen it so many times, you can look for the deeper stuff like the Toro, Toro.
Yeah.
And now I'll be looking for Lamar in the dojo as well. But the next time I watch it, and for Freddy Fernandez at the All Valley Tournament, I don't recall seeing him at the end of this movie. So it'll be fun. So having done that, we'll
so, you know, when I send you this montage of Miyagi grunts that I made into a song many years ago, I end it with the song that Mr. Miyagi sings when he gets drunk and Daniel shows up at his place. And if you listen, like I've listened to this song so many times, I am convinced that at the very end of the song, he's saying the words Ralph Macchio, because I'm not going to even attempt to sing it because I can't. It's something you got to listen to for yourself, but he's singing what you assume is our Japanese words. Yeah. But at the very end, it sounds so much like he's just added a random Ralph Macchio.
In like a Japanese and accent or something.
Yeah, yeah. And you'll know the song. It's a song that he's singing Daniel shows up. But yeah, listen closely to it.
Awesome. We'll add that to the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and pick our next movie. And I've added three more. One was at the request of you, which was Juana Man. And then I added a Disney classic, The World's Greatest Athlete, which I thought had Kurt Russell in it, but it does not. It is not a Kurt Russell Disney movie. And then a Mariel Hemingway movie called Personal Best, which I've never seen. But we have 201 movies in the hopper, and the random number generator has chosen number 45, which is John Goodman as the Babe.
Oh man. Oh good. I watched part of this movie recently, but
it's not good.
I'm looking. Oh, it's not. Oh, okay. Well,
this movie came out. I was working at a video store like my junior year in high school, maybe, and this came out around that time. And this movie was always on the videos in the store, along with the Ed O'Neill movie, Dutch. Do you remember that movie? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Those just seemed to always be on the screens. Somebody would always be putting in the Babe. So, yeah. So, that'll be our next movie that we watch. So, if you, again, we do have a Twitter handle. It is at Slow Pitch Cast. So if you want to drop us a line, you can there.
And yeah, if you're like, well, why is it called Slow Pitch? My answer to that is it just is.
It just is.
It's a sports term.
You know, it is. And we played a lot of slow pitch softball in college, but there's also the idea of the movie pitch that we briefly toyed around with. No.
Yeah. We're too lazy to do.
But yeah, so it all kind of runs together. But yeah, slow pitch. Come on. It works. It's good.
Yeah.
It's better than, you know, sports balls or something like that. So but yeah, so anyways, that's our Twitter at Slow Pitch Cast. And this is our 11th episode. We've made it past the 10 episode mark.
Holy crap. Yeah.
And so we are at number 11. Who's number 11 in the NBA?
Oh, Isaiah Thomas.
There you go. Yep. So we are at Isaiah Thomas now.
We just got done with Dennis Rodman and we're moving on to Isaiah Thomas.
This is number, so the Babe will be number 12.
Oh, so who's number 12? So, ooh, gosh. I don't know why I know all the Pistons. Because I was like, Spider Sally's 22. Oh, John Stockton.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. So we're at John Stockton in the number of episodes. We should do that until we get to 99 for Dennis Rodman. But thank you guys for listening to Slow Pitch, where all of our fans give Spidey a high five.
Heck yeah. What's up, Johnny?
All right.
Just like green. Wax off. Just to trust Peter. Detroit. Smell bad, you. Show me Sandra Floor.
Just like green.